The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello and welcome everyone to this Signal Hour. I am here again with the wonderful, beautiful Evie Botello.
Good afternoon, Martinson.
Once you get the name all the way fully changed.
I know. Welcome everybody. Good to see you again.
All right. Today we have a very big, very special Signal Hour. What is the Signal Hour? It's where I do my level best along with Evie to find the signal within the noise. It's getting really noisy out there. This is going to be a tough episode to get through in some respects, just because it's so gross. And it really points out, I think, just how far we are in the decline of empire. It's just everything's been really laid bare. But what's happening is we're seeing the so-called MAGA movement get fractured and fractured and fractured and split. So I'm a little worried that we're being played, but at the same time, I'm very convinced that we're being fed a load of horse patookie. And so we got to talk about that. In particular, I'm talking about this, the Epstein didn't kill himself and traffic minors to nobody episode.
Oh boy.
Along with,
The inshittification.
We're going to have to talk about that a little bit. If we get there, this is a long episode and there's lots to cover. And we're going to do this because, you know me, I like my things to make sense. I call myself Mr. Common Sense Guy. I just add things up. And if it doesn't add up, it doesn't add up, right? Building 7 falling at free fall for 2.25 seconds didn't add up. Just everything NIST came up with just didn't work out. And none of that actually worked at all. Oh, earpiece just popped out there. Boing. Came out like a flying out, like it just didn't want to be in there at all.
Angela Kopp says, we get played every day. Plagues, jabs, floods.
Yeah, we're getting played. Okay, so Evie, this was the DOJ FBI cover-up memo. They released it on a Sunday afternoon, and it's the weirdest thing ever because it isn't signed. It doesn't have any footnotes.
Right.
It's like neither one is really taking responsibility for it. It was both of them.
Right.
Neither of them. We can't really tell.
Weird.
But at any rate,
there's just no header.
Nothing.
No, I mean, identifying information.
It was a really weird thing. And then the DOJ servers were down for
That's
the next
odd.
Day and a half, 2 days, right? You know,
that doesn't seem
the
right.
The whole thing was just weird. Okay, in red, what do we got there?
Says this systemic review revealed no incriminating, quote, client list. There is also no credible evidence found that Epstein blackmailed prominent individuals as part of his actions. We did not uncover evidence that could predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties. Consistent with prior disclosures, this review confirmed that Epstein harmed over 1,000 victims.
1,000 victims.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
And it's sensitive information that stays intertwined, but like, oh, you know, victim names, likenesses, descriptions, place of birth, associates, employment history. So they know who these victims are. They know who they are. So in a normal part of an ordinary thing, let's say you and some neighbors get tangled up in some sort of like something.
Mm-hmm.
The police come and they interview the witnesses, the victims,
right?
The passersby.
Right.
Like they talk to the people involved.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be.
You know, we couldn't find any incriminating client list, but he did harm over 1,000 victims. And they were unique people with names, but we haven't talked to any of them. Or if they have, they're not explaining that. So normally in a memo like this, when you say, listen, we're not, especially something this high profile.
Right.
Where Epstein was in government custody.
Right.
And died under very mysterious circumstances. And I'm being kind.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That don't comport with the physical evidence at all. We can get into that in a bit if we need to. But at any rate, you would normally say, you know what, we're going to have to really cross some T's, dot some I's.
You would think so. I mean, what they seem to be hiding behind is this idea that, you know, this trauma that happened is so terrible, which it is. And the victims of that are obviously, you know, under a lot of pressure as it is. You know, surviving something like that is traumatic. It affects the whole rest of your life. And it seems that they're using that as a shield to not provide some of those details that we're asking about.
That's true. However, we also know that some of these victims said it was traumatic, but I'm willing to talk about it. And they have gone out, and I can show you videos where they're out in public talking about it.
Oh, wow.
So they have already unshielded themselves and said they're willing to go on record, and still they're hiding behind that shield you just talked about.
Interesting.
All right. So this is important because on June, I think it was 11th, Kash Patel shows up on the Joe Rogan show. Very long interview, but he says this.
We're not going to let that go. We're going to investigate him, right? They charge him, they indict him, and he's awaiting trial. And I've said it, Dan Bongino said it, we've reviewed all the information and the American public is going to get as much as we can release. He killed himself. Do you think, let's play out the logical conclusion of this.
So first he says two things there. He said, you're going to get what we can release. So he's hiding behind that shield already. The shield is, think of the victims. We couldn't possibly. And I agree, that makes sense if somebody doesn't want to be unshielded. But it doesn't make sense if you have women who are willing to come forward and have already unshielded themselves.
Right. It's true.
Oh, but no, this crime is so terrible, we could never.
You think that myself, Bongino, and others would participate in hiding information about Epstein's grotesque activities?
Now this is a favorite thing for Cash to do, which I don't understand. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say, we are not hiding anything from you. He says, do you really think we would hide these things from you? He always asks it in a rhetorical question.
Right. And then you feel like you're the idiot for asking it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he doesn't come out and state that. It's very careful wordsmithing that's going on here.
Yeah.
Do you really think we would hide things from you if we had it? Well, whether you say yes or no, it's your opinion. Now he's put it back to you as an opinion. Now you have an opinion about something. He's not declaratively stating, I am not hiding anything from you. And I swear upon my honor and the Bible or the Hindu God or whatever he prays to. Right.
The oath I took to this country.
Maybe the Torah. We don't know. Remember, he does have almost 20 year younger girlfriend who used to be part of one of the top intelligence units of Mossad.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
You know how it is. It's standard practice for DC, obviously.
Yep. But at any rate, it's who you know.
it's just, again, he throws it back to that. Listen.
Conclusion of this. Do you think that myself, Bongino, and others would participate in hiding information about Epstein's grotesque activities? Or do you think we would also participate in not prosecuting people we had evidence to prosecute people on? But the problem is there's been like 15 years of people coming in and creating fictions about this that doesn't exist.
Okay. What is he referring to?
Well,
fictions?
Well, we'll get into all of that. I mean, once you see the evidence, you should come back and look at this again, because you realize everything he's saying is a complete load of bollocks.
Uh-huh.
It just is. It just flat out 100% is, right?
Which is sad. We deserve better.
Yeah.
We deserve better as people.
Absolutely.
Where's the videotape of an Epstein Island of X, Y, and Z?
Where's the videotape from Epstein Islands, little St. James Island down there in the Caribbean, right? Where's the videotape from there that shows these things you speak of, right? We'll get to that too. I just want all of this captured because I'm going to build this like a prosecutor.
All right.
Like I'm going to hang him by his own words here. Okay.
Do it.
Committing these frauds. Why haven't you given it to us? Do you really think I wouldn't give that to you?
Right. Well, maybe you don't have it. Maybe we think that somebody scrubbed all of that stuff. Maybe we think that the FBI has been just running interference for the deep state and prosecuting the wrong people and failing to even remotely look into the right people for years. Maybe we think that, Cash.
Yeah. It's happened many times.
Maybe you used to think that before you got there.
Yeah.
This is not the same guy who wrote the book about the deep state. I'm just saying.
If it existed, I'm working my ass off along with the leadership at the Bureau and DOJ to get you what we're allowed to give you. And you're going to get the video of the cell. And you're going to see for yourself. And we will never be able to convince everyone.
So he says flat out, we're going to give you the video of the cell. Now he's referring back to Epstein's suicide clause. This is four air quotes at once, right? His suicide, right? And so that's what he says. We're going to give you video of the cell. So that's in June, right? And there's other parts of the interview. He says, I've seen it. I've seen the video. Nobody comes or goes from his cell. He's declarative.
Wow. Okay?
So let's carry on. is a reminder. So he just said, how come those videos don't exist from Little St. James Island? Right? How come you don't have any? I have to remind everybody here that that island was not raided until 2 days after Epstein's death in 2019, let alone having been raided at any point in time from 2008, 9, 10, right. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, or 19.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and they had lots of time to move things around in the meantime.
Yep.
Here are the details on when the FBI first set foot on Jeffrey Epstein's Little St. James Island and when they first raided or processed his New Mexico compound and New York City brownstone based on available information. Little St. James Island, or in the U.S. Virgin Islands, the FBI first set foot on Little St. James Island on August 12th, 2019 for a raid. This was 2 days after Epstein's death on August 10th, 2019. Mm-hmm. Reports confirm FBI agents accompanied by customs personnel, local police, and NYPD officers arrived by speedboat and searched the property, seizing items like computers. There's no clear evidence of an earlier FBI visit to the island, as it was primarily Epstein's private residence and not subject to federal scrutiny until after his July 2019 arrest.
Whoa, 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 whoa. So if I am cavorting with, like, heads of state, and you think I might be running a blackmail, sexy operation on them, and the FBI show up, I get to go private residence.
Sorry, this is my house.
It's primarily my private residence, so beat it.
No, that doesn't work for little people.
Nope. So, I mean, just doesn't track. And by the way, Grok does such a good job helping me understand all this stuff in real time. Okay, so now let's go. So then... they release just a couple days before the memo, the DOJ releases this video. And we're not going to review the whole video because it's a whole lot of nothing, but enough to know that it's the one that Cash was referring to that says shows the cell. Okay. Now, here's what we got. This is the upper tiers, and this is Epstein's cell here. And you can see there's these clusters of cells, right? And then there's a lower tier. So this one is stacked on top of this one. And in this upper tier, there was this one sole functioning camera that was both streaming and recording, right? And it's in this corner right here. So when we look at these videos, we're actually going to be looking down into this lower common area. There's a guard desk right here. Yep. And this is the same common area. It's just there's stairs that go down into the lower sets of tiers of these SHUs, as they call them, the shoes. And then there's this upper tier. So that's it. They're stacked like this. Okay. But you're seeing a schematic top and bottom. All right. So turns out that this is the video here. I think they used the same camera they had outside the Pentagon on 9/11. It's a potato cam. I don't know what the government spends our billions and trillions on, but it's not high quality cameras. You get better than this from like $150 off the shelf, like from Best Buy.
Or
like
from McDonald's.
Yeah. Or maybe they should rub the lens off every saw, just lick it and wipe it off. I don't know. But at any rate, just to clear things up, the camera's here. So it sees these two doors. Those are not Epstein's doors. Those are doors that go elsewhere. These are doors that go into this part of this structure. Way down here on this potato cam, we can see this guard desk right here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, if you really squint at this, I've zoomed it out a little bit. You can see these just a little tiny three fractional parts of stairs that go into this upper unit that where Epstein's cell would have been located. So you could watch this all day long and not see anybody on those stairs. And a million people could have streamed up and down the right side of that staircase and you never would know. But Cash said definitively, Dan Bongino said definitively, you can see nobody went in or out. Therefore, he must have killed himself. This doesn't even pass like grade school level forensic examination of anything. Doesn't.
And what about the streaming but not recording camera right there?
Oh, wouldn't you know it? All the camera's ability to record got knocked out sometime just a few days earlier.
Right.
And there was a technician who came in to fix them, but then he wasn't given access to the room and he didn't come. And wouldn't you know, he showed up the day after Epstein's death to fix the whole thing. And now they stream and record.
Of course. What happened.
All right. Now, what's fascinating here that some people pointed out was that there is a missing minute. So this is actually, don't know why it went back up. So check this out. watch this 11:58. So this is on 8/9. Remember, he's killed sometime that night, 8/10, right? Mm-hmm. August 10th.
Yep.
So we're trying to get from 11:58 at night on the 9th, mm-hmm. and we're trying to get into the 10th, which would be the next day at midnight.
Sure.
This starts at 8:58:57, and watch, and oh, that's the video feed we were given that they released to say this thing shows conclusively that nobody came or left.
Candace Owens was talking about this, and she's like, it's daylight savings minute. We drop it off every day. Yeah. So, you know, that's normal.
The second thing I want you to notice, besides the missing minute and a few seconds, actually, it's not like it's missing exactly a minute.
Right.
It drops at about 12:58:58 and picks back up again at about 12:02 or something like that. But anyway,
yeah.
Notice as well, there is a frame shift that happens. Boink.
Oh, yeah.
Why would that happen?
That is kind of weird.
If it's some system reset and we're just recording with the same equipment on the same camera, why do you get the boink?
Did they insert something else in there?
Why the boink? Look, it's like the whole camera aspect ratio changes.
Yeah, it does. Huh. That's really weird.
You know, like it stretches out a little. Boink. What is that? Nobody knows. Anyway, but that's an oddity that shows up, and that's going to play into this in a minute. I don't know how much to make about this, but I watched somebody else analyze this whole thing, and they did note that at 10:40 p.m., you can actually see somebody in orange going up the side of those stairs over there.
Oh, really?
And it's also noted in other documents that they said, oh, everybody was locked down at 8. All prisoners accounted for were in their cells at 8.
Okay.
And that's it. And then we found him dead in the morning at 6:30. But then at 10:40, you see this person in orange go up the side. And then they have a later report that says, oh, Jeffrey Epstein, against all known procedure, was allowed to go call his mother at 7 o'clock and didn't return to his cell until 10:40. So I don't know what kind of like high profile suicide watch prisoners are allowed to be out of their past curfew.
Right.
And just be somewhere allegedly talking to their mother in an unmonitored phone call from 7 to 10:40. They claim they haven't said definitively that that's him going up those stairs at 10:40, but you can clearly see somebody in an orange jumpsuit.
Huh.
Clearly it's potato cam, so you can see orangish pixels morph up the stairs,
right?
But there's clearly orange going up those stairs at 10:40 when they at first said everybody's locked down and accounted for it.
Wow.
So there's some problems with this story.
So a quick question.
Yeah.
Is that desk that you said the guards were at, right? Yes. Down there, is that where? Yes. Somebody would have fallen asleep. Is that the spot?
I think that's it. That's the only one I'm aware of here. Is okay. That guard desk right there.
I'm just curious about like where they were asleep on the job.
That's a great question, and I wish I knew. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just to be clear again, this would have been the camera everybody would have wanted. It's down at the end of his cell block. We would have been able to see all the comings and goings. There was a prisoner here, a couple of prisoners here. So even for them to have said nobody went up and down those stairs, which they can't from the data. The other thing they can't tell us is, did this door open and this person come in and kill him and then go back in there? We won't know.
Yeah.
Right?
We don't.
So again, a full investigation would be, these are the names of the other prisoners. Here are the interviews we conducted with them. Here's all the forensic evidence that we've gathered.
Right.
But everything was just wrong with the crime scene. Well, the death scene, right? It is a crime scene, my world, but death scene. They didn't lock it down. They declared him dead right there on the spot. So they should have taken pictures. We have no pictures.
Right. They moved things around.
They moved things around. Then later they made this big show of him being wheeled into a hospital on a gurney where they had a New York Post photographer there. And they were showing they were attempting to resuscitate him because that's what you do. Like, no, this guy's, he was declared dead at the facility.
Right.
You don't try and resuscitate somebody on a gurney coming in. It's all show. It's all for show.
Did you see there were EMS personnel that like swapped? Like there were a couple people that were there initially and then got swapped out by a couple other individuals that didn't have any badges on there.
I did see that.
Did
and
you see
you know
that?
What? They looked rather clean cut and,
didn't they?
And fit.
They
and trim,
did. Yeah.
Young men.
Weird. That was weird.
Very weird.
Hmm.
Yeah. So at any rate, this is all just starting to stack up. It's like, okay, there's just oddities, right? So of course people are going to have questions when there's some oddities. So I've assembled a really handy list of tips and ideas for the FBI and DOJ here, which they might want to consider. They could just consider.
One. Interview the victims and witnesses.
It's a tip.
That's a good start.
I'm thinking you start there.
Yeah.
I was not a public defender like Cash, so I know a suicide when I see one, right? But this, I think, would be a great starting point.
Yeah, that's legitimate.
Okay. Next up, I think...
conduct financial forensics. Scour those bank accounts. Track the money flows.
You always follow the money. where are the financial forensics? We'll get into this in a minute, but somehow Jeffrey Epstein went from math teacher at a small school to being worth $547 million without blackmailing anybody, obviously.
Of course.
Of course, because that's already been determined.
Right. It was just a really well-paying job.
He was so good at what he does. How about that?
Securing and analyzing cell phone records and GPS data.
Sure. Like all these people, your victims and witnesses say some stuff and like, oh, it was Prince Andrew. Well, great. Let's just see if his phone, right? That's what you do. You match. Yeah.
Yeah. You match the victim's testimonies to flight logs.
Okay. I think it's a good idea. Also.
Analyze all digital and forensic evidence.
Yeah. They didn't do that even in the death scene, right?
Mm-hmm. Investigate all associates and networks.
Yep. How about that?
And raid early and often and bring a black light. Oh, gross. No, it's true, though.
No, they had time to bring in power washers and scrubbers and this is and that.
Yeah.
And speaking, so Virginia Guifrey, she was one of the famous victims, right? And so there's pictures of her.
Right. She's the blonde that's standing with Prince Andrew with his arm
around her, and they show that picture. I got the picture, but she, you know, you might not know this. She, you know, where she started work, mm-hmm. and where she first got trafficked by it was Ghislaine Maxwell, who was her prime handler. Mar-a-Lago. She was a bus girl or something, a servant at Mar-a-Lago, Trump's place.
That's weird.
That's where she first got introduced. Her dad apparently kept immaculate condition of the tennis courts. So that's who she is.
Interesting.
Anyway, this is her diary where she said,
the footage. I used to be watched by Epstein's hidden cameras, which I've seen myself. The FBI have the archive footage showing me being abused by other men, used as blackmail.
Okay. So there's lots stacking up here. So all of this starts to break out and the DOJ mm-hmm. comes out with that super clumsy memo on Sunday to see how it's going to go. It goes over like an absolute lead balloon on Twitter, at least. Right?
Never heard that before.
It just absolutely cratered. I think they released the balloon and it flew right into like a thorn bush and popped, right? It just didn't work out.
Yep.
And now they're in deep damage control, but the damage has been done. MAGA's been split. There's a lot of people. This is the last straw. I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. Like, nope, this is unacceptable. There's certain lines you can't cross, right? And this is one of them. We do not traffic our own children for fun, amusement, and profit. Obviously, you know, Epstein profited handsomely from this, going from a nobody school teacher to worth over $500 million, right?
Mm-hmm. From 1,000 victims. That's a lot of children.
Conducted over decades.
Awful.
Right?
How many people's lives were just destroyed by that?
And these are the ones we know about, right? How many of these, does it get darker than that? Were there hunting parties? Did not all of them survive their treatments, as it were? Guaranteed.
It's awful.
So then all of this blows up on them. MAGA's getting split. People are walking away from it all. It's really bad. And so then this happens here.
Was this with Pam Bondi?
This is at the White House. Yeah.
That's a pretty general question too, Professor.
Sure.
Your memo and release yesterday in Jeffrey Epstein, it left some lingering mysteries. One of the biggest ones is whether he ever worked for a American or foreign intelligence agency. The former labor secretary, who was Miami U.S. attorney, Alex Acosta, he allegedly said that he did work for an intelligence agency. So could you resolve whether or not he did? And also, could you say why there was a minute missing from the jailhouse tape on the night of the
day? Yeah, sure.
Did I just interrupt?
Sure.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. You're asking, we have Texas, we have this, we have all of the things. Yeah. And are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable. Do you want to waste the time and do you feel like answering?
I don't mind answering.
I mean, I can't believe you're asking a question on Epstein at a time like this, where we're having some of the greatest success and also tragedy with what happened in Texas. It just seems like a desecration, but you go ahead.
Sure. First, to back up on that, in February, I did an interview on Fox, and it's been getting a lot of attention because I said, I was asked a question about the client list, and my response was, it's sitting on my desk to be reviewed, meaning the file along with the JFK, MLK files as well. That's what I meant by that. Also, to the tens of thousands of video, they...
Hang on a sec. I think it's a red herring saying, oh, is there a client list? Look, we've had the flight logs for over a decade. Right.
There's no question.
It's obvious who the clients were, right? Mm-hmm. Even if he kept a list and said, you know, client A, that's not it either, really, right? So what it should have been was, do you have video of other people with underage minors on them?
Mm-hmm.
And then you identify them. Now, remember, this is coming from the same departments of FBI and DOJ who were able, through cell phone records, to hunt down over 1,000 people who were at the J6 riots, because that's what you do.
Right.
You want to go after people. You get their cell phone records. You place them at a location.
That's right.
You come down on them really hard with your prosecutorial stuff with a 99.5% success rate. And you say, cut a deal or you're going to prison for 20 years.
Exactly. They did that with the truckers, too.
With the truckers. Same. Yeah. No, when they want to come down on little people, you watch and they're like, oh, cell phone records, this, that, that.
Oh, they pull
everything.
And
suddenly, when it comes to like prosecuting big people, like, oh, this is tricky. By the way, Donald Trump appears 6 times on the flight logs. Just saying.
Mm.
Not flying directly. I mean, Jeffrey Epstein's plane flew all over the place.
Yeah.
Like from Palm Beach to Peterborough to,
of course,
et cetera, et cetera. But
yeah, yep. He might have a reason to be trying to deflect and get people to stop talking about this.
Yeah. Are we still talking about that? He's all angry.
Turned out to be child porn downloaded by that disgusting Jeffrey Epstein. Child porn is what they were. Never going to be released. Never going to see the light of day. To him being an agent, I have no knowledge about that. We can get back to you on that. And the minute...
I have no knowledge about that. Again, this is evasive language.
Yeah.
This isn't saying...
He's definitely wasn't.
Definitely was not an agent. Even though we know that Acosta, who was attorney general back in the day of Florida, I think, said that he was starting when 2008 was going to prosecute Epstein. And he was told, I was told to back off. He's an intelligence asset. It's part of the record.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Wow. Okay.
So it's already part of the record. And she's like, I have no knowledge of that. Well, then you're just ignorant, I guess, because
right.
I know that. Everybody else knows that already. I mean, we know that already. Okay.
Okay.
That's established fact, but that's what they do. They muddy everything up.
Yep.
Missing from the video. We released the video showing definitively the video was not conclusive, but the evidence prior to it was showing he committed suicide.
That didn't really make sense.
We released the video showing definitively.
Definitively showing definitively what, right? And then she goes on to make this wild claim.
Video. We released the video showing definitively. The video was not conclusive, but the evidence prior to it was showing he committed suicide. And what was on that, there was a minute that was off the counter. And what we learned from Bureau of Prisons was every year, every night, they redo that video. It's old, from like 1999. So every night the video is reset, and every night should have the same minute missing. So we're looking for that video to release that as well, showing that a minute is missing every night. And that's it on Epstein.
So the story they're going with right now, and by the way, they're going to have to backpedal on this enormously, is, you know, we just installed a security system whose own job is to just continuously record for security reasons. We installed it with a missing minute because, you know, that's what these systems do. No possible way to have continuous recording. At any rate, there was so much junk on there, by the way, just saying.
Pam Bondi was attorney general in Florida from 2011 to 2019 and never charged Epstein with any crimes.
And by the way, this is what truth sounds like when you hear it. Joe Janik was just writing in response to that missing minute thing. And he said, as someone who sells security systems for a national integrator, I can tell you Pam Bondi is lying. Yes, the camera quality in Epstein's footage is outdated. It's analog coax, but video systems don't just reset and randomly drop a minute. That's not how surveillance works, ever. Right? And he goes
wow.
on to talk about how DVR dupe loop recordings, they don't reset nightly in a correctional facility.
No 24/7 way.
Continuous recording with 30-90 days of video retention minimum. Missing footage doesn't happen by accident. blah, 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 blah. It just goes into that. Like, wow. He said, and by the way, all the way in the bottom says systems like Milestone, Genentech, or even mid-tier NVRs log everything. When the footage is exported, when the recording stops, when cameras go offline, even login attempts, full chain of custody, unless someone erases that too. So that's what the truth sounds like when you hear it.
Yep, there it is.
Oh, you know, we had an old system and it just is part of it. It just resets itself and loses a minute every night. We'll release other videos showing that. I'm like, sure you will.
Right.
At any rate.
They hope we forget about it by tomorrow.
So carrying on, but remember all the stuff that that Cash just said, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, he was very careful. He's like, do you think I wouldn't, or Dan, we wouldn't share if we had stuff? He didn't say we have stuff we're not sharing with you. He said, do you think we would? Do you think we would not prosecute someone if we had that data? We don't have that data.
I bet he's been coached on how to talk about this.
He has. That was his third attempt. The first two, he just looked like hostage videos.
That was really, really bad. He still had the crazy eyes in that video.
I know,
he was
but he just kind of always does. All right.
Bugged out.
So.
Okay. So
FBI finally raids Epstein's townhouse on July 6th, 2019.
Finally, New York City Brownstone. The FBI first raided Epstein's Manhattan townhouse on July 6th. 2019, the day of his arrest at Teterboro Airport in New Jersey, federal agents entered the $77 million property, seizing evidence including a fake passport, diamonds, and photographs of possible minors. This raid was part of the initial investigation following his arrest on sex trafficking charges.
Okay. So you're thinking, oh, okay, well, at least they raided his townhouse and they cracked open a safe, it turns out.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. And they found... cool. Look at all this stuff. Fake passports, diamonds, photographs. There were DVDs, a video. There was digital recording stuff. There were hard drives. It was very cool.
Oh.
Yeah, you're going to love this stuff. So it turns out.
Okay.
That they raided it, but without a warrant. They forgot the warrant.
Oh, shoot.
So pick it up from the second paragraph and just let's go through this together because this is special.
So the highlighted part, the FBI agents said officers broke open the safe with a saw, finding the CDs, jewelry, and computer hard drives, loose diamonds, passports, and large amounts of U.S. currency.
Now, remember, so Cash has said, hey, nothing exists. We've been through, and Pam Bondi's like, oh, we've been through all these things, and it's just gross child porn. That's all we ever found.
Right.
Yeah? Okay, go ahead.
They took photographs of the items, but left them at the residence as they did not have the warrant to remove them. When they returned 4 days later on July 11th,
surprise!
They were no longer there. Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
So,
good grief. What a clown show.
So they raid. This is what we're supposed to believe. The FBI raids this thing, right?
They come in guns blazing.
And they know that he's been arrested 2 days earlier on federal child sex trafficking charges. So you're gonna raid a house. You know what to put down on the warrant, right?
It seems kind of simple.
I'm gonna be looking for computers, hard drives, cell phones, pictures,
Right.
But they claimed later, they're like, oh, we didn't have the right warrant. We forgot to ask. We just had to leave that stuff. And when they show back up a few days later, 4 days later,
oops,
it's all gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. Oops.
So that's where did it go? There. Who knew about it? Oh, well, I have so many questions. Agent McGuire, a member of the FBI Child Exploitation and Human Trafficking Task Force, said she then called Richard Kahn, Epstein's lawyer, who now serves as the executor of the later financier's estate.
That should be late, not later. Late financier's. There's a typo.
To ask what happened to the items. 20 to 30 minutes after the conversation, Richard Kahn came to the residence and brought these items back in two suitcases, Agent
so
McGuire
said. Lawyer scurried off with everything.
What?
And then brought, and they don't say he brought all of them back. They don't say.
They don't know what
he brought the same things back.
Oh my gosh.
Poof. All gone.
Ridiculous.
That's right, Joel.
Ridiculous.
Poof.
Wow.
Anyway, this is. So again, this is the context for, Cash coming on and saying, do you think it's just this blustery bullshit?
Yeah, it is.
When this is the most goofy Keystone Cop crap you've ever seen in your life, right? Mm-hmm. And we all know what happened here. right? This is a cover-up operation, full stop. That's fine. So Epstein has three places. Little St. James Island, which they didn't raid until after he was dead.
Yep, I remember that.
And remember, they arrested him on July 6th. So
then he had the New Mexico place.
So then he doesn't die till August, right? So that's a whole month for somebody to bring in the cleanup crew to Little St. James Island, right? Power washers, you know,
they
shredders,
love those things. They use them all the time.
Trash compactors, you know, whatever.
A Trump's assassination
but
attempt.
But then he had the New Mexico place too.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
He had that New Mexico place.
What happened with that?
It's Zorro Ranch.
Okay, well, here it is.
According
to Grok, New Mexico compound, also called Zorro Ranch, there is no definitive public record of the FBI raiding or processing Epstein's Zorro Ranch in New Mexico.
Yep, there you go. There's no evidence that they ever searched the property. Ever.
Despite allegations of trafficking at the property, no specific data for an FBI raid is documented in available sources.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
So, by the way, this is the place, right? It's a big, he bought the land and he built that. So again, they say, you know, his stuff here, it's valued at $577 million, right?
Wow.
How does a non-blackmailer come up with $577 million? This is As
a teacher.
This is simple. This is not even like, this is infuriatingly simple. The easiest thing in the world is to ask the question, where'd that money come from? And of course, there's records for all of it.
Follow the money. You look at the bank account. You look at where the deposits came from and whose bank and whose name and blah, blah, blah.
And you ask him questions like, why did you give that much money to this guy? So check this out, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Marie Farmer has made allegations that Epstein and his former girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, abused her and her younger sister, Amy, who was 16 years old at the time, in the 90s. Ms. Farmer is thought to be the first victim to report Epstein's sex crimes to law enforcement. She worked as an artist and a receptionist at Epstein's home in New York in 96. She told The Sun that built into the basement of Epstein's Zorro Ranch were multiple surveillance rooms. Quote, all of Epstein's residences had these mechanical rooms and tunnel systems. I know this because Epstein told me, she told the paper. These rooms were enormous, bigger than houses. I have no idea why anyone needs so many computers in one room. There were pinhole cameras to record everything on every estate. The cameras were ubiquitous. You couldn't see them unless they were pointed out to you.
All right. So, it's hearsay, right? Maria Farmer, she's come out. She has these allegations. She says, well, there's this big, you know, 8,000, like home sized rooms under this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, there was this guy, Eddie Aragon, a local radio station owner, quote, said, got a hold of architectural plans for the 33,339 square foot thing dating back to 1998, 5 years after it was bought by Epstein. The Sun reported the underground floor measures 8,000 square feet, has rooms for working out, getting a massage, boink, as well as a jacuzzi area, again, bring the black light. The plans also show three mechanical rooms. And Mr. Aragon spoke to an architect of the ranch and former IT contractor who worked on the systems there. So we have now this isn't hearsay anymore. Quote, the architect called into my radio show and had been sitting on these plans for some time. These plans give us a firmer idea of what's going on at the ranch. Quote, although the house is for sale, the brokers won't talk to you about the ranch without you being a qualified party, which means you have to be someone with money who can prove they can buy it in cash. And that's the only way to view the place. All of that in the basement feels more like a dungeon with the nebulous mechanical rooms, he said. A 6-foot by 6-foot oversized portrait of Ghislaine Maxwell with her legs fully spread, completely naked, and a golden dagger in her right hand was dead center in the elevator hall of the basement.
Ew.
I think that was used to intimidate the young women, he said, who were there alone and isolated. Yeah, you think, right? The contractor who supplied the photographs stated that he can never, ever get that image out of his mind and is one of the most bizarre things he's ever seen. End quote.
Ew, that's gross.
They never raided that place.
I'm sick of this. I don't know about you, but this is, I don't know. Like, it's really hard to hear these things over and over again on lots of different topics, as we discuss on this show a lot, and to have nothing happen.
I know.
There's no justice. This is just wrong.
It's going to break someday. This is going to break on them, on everybody, right? Because this is what happens. You just overdo it. The corruption, the debauchery, the decadence, it finally gets revealed.
Mm-hmm.
The power structure does everything it can to pretend that it can go back to just keeping things how it is, right?
Yep.
But then eventually, it pops.
It pops.
It's just how these things tend to work.
I guess
And so glad this part, to hear that. I'm sorry, this may get harder too. You just can't gloss over all this. You just can't. Okay, you just can't. So
okay.
So Melinda Gates, remember? So she gets this like enormous settlement, like half. She took halvesies on their divorce.
Yeah.
And then a month later, she comes out. She's just trying to clear her own name here.
You know, it was also widely reported that Bill had a friendship or business or some kind of contact with Jeffrey Epstein, and that you were not. That was very upsetting to you. Did that play a role in the divorce at all in this process?
Yeah, as I said, it's not one thing. It was many things. But I did not like that he'd had meetings with Jeffrey Epstein, no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you made that clear to him?
I made that clear to him. I also met Jeffrey Epstein exactly one time.
Did you?
Yes, because I wanted to see who this man was. And I regretted it from the second I stepped in the door. He was abhorrent. He was evil personified. I had nightmares about it afterwards. So, you know, my heart breaks for these young women because that's how I felt. And here I'm an older woman. My God, I feel terrible for those young women. It was awful.
You felt that the moment you walked in.
I didn't realize that. He was awful.
Yeah. And you shared that with Bill, and he still continued to spend time with him?
Any of the questions remaining about what Bill's relationship there was, those are for Bill to answer.
Okay.
But I made it very clear how I felt about him.
Okay, well, all right.
Interesting.
So let's hear from Bill. Let's hear his side of things.
You continue to meet with him over several years. And that, in other words, a number of meetings. What did you do when you found out about his background?
Well, and, you know, I've said I regretted having those dinners, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing new on that.
Is there a lesson for you for
having those dinners? That's what he's going with, having those dinners. He was on Epstein's plane so many times, and those are the times we know about.
Right. Okay? Oh, look at him, his lying face.
I know, but this part gets me every time. I don't know if you've seen this.
Anyone else looking at this?
Any lessons?
Well, he's dead, so... you know, in general, you always have to be careful. And you know,
what he did something that caused him.
Well, he's dead. So, in general, you always have to be careful. Smirk. In
he's
general,
so gross. Is that...
Well, he's dead.
Speaking of evil personified.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Continue to meet with him over several years.
I mean, just listen to it.
And there's nothing, absolutely nothing new on that.
Is there a lesson for you, for anyone else looking at this?
Well, he's dead. So, you know, in general, you always have to be careful.
Look at that smirk, smirk.
And, you know,
he's the kind of guy that would hunt kids out in the woods for fun.
I believe so. Yeah.
I just can feel it.
Yeah. Or develop vaccines that are actually deadly, not helpful.
That too.
Right. Okay. So, but just to put this in context, because we have to talk about, like, we're in the middle of a fourth turning, right? So, and that's Strauss and Howe's terminology. Fourth
right.
turning.
It's like loss of faith.
Crisis.
Yeah.
Right? That's our crisis. And it comes with that, the loss of faith. Mm-hmm. In particular, a loss of trust in our main institutions. So look what COVID did. Totally destroyed all the trust I might have had in NIH, NSF, NIAID, health in general, hospitals, doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Gone, right? That's a pretty big wedge of the pie.
The CDC, you forgot
the CDC. Pretty FDA. Pretty big wedge of the pie to lose a lot of faith in, right? Worse, it's I didn't just lose faith, like, oh my God, maybe you can't trust them. I trust that they're going to do things that are actively harmful before they would ever get around to doing things that are actively helpful.
Right.
I have faith in the opposite of the way I'm supposed to have faith.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
But now we're having, and of course, you know, we lost all this faith in the Supreme Court. Right. And all the court decisions. We're losing faith in our judiciary. Right. We have activist judges coming up with patently illegal stuff and doing weird things.
Doing whatever they want.
Right.
Not respecting the checks and balances that are in place.
All the faith in our educational institutions, which are busy pushing this weird trans ideology stuff and basically just not thinking clearly.
And not teaching our kids how to think.
The fact that the last holdouts for the last 31 colleges that insisted that there was a vaccine mandate for incoming students, including being up to date on boosters, were all of the top ones. Harvard, Brown, Princeton, Yale, right? Top institutions, right? So then you lose total faith in your educational institutions. Of course, it didn't help that Harvard went out of its way to protect and then give $1 million per year salary
right.
to their president
right.
who committed plagiarism, which is kind of a no-no, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And don't forget the FDA. Like, I've lost faith in our food system.
Food system, all
like,
of it.
Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big racket and they put whatever they want in our food and yep. we in other countries they don't do some right. of the things that we do here in the
but
US.
Now we're going to have to lose faith in our top justice institutions, which I know people have in varying degrees, but now it's just sort of laid bare.
Yeah.
Right. And so what's left? I mean, it feels like we're being systematically dismantled.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to have to talk at some point about there's a darker force at play here.
There is.
That's dismantling us and we're kind of falling for it, but at a minimum we need to clean house and it doesn't look like it's going to happen and that's my concern.
No, and honestly, Chris, a big reason for that is all this technology. Like, we are going to be tracked within an inch of our lives, and
I know.
They're going to track us biomedically, they're going to track everything we do, and you know that's coming down the pike, as well as of course the CBDCs, etc. So it's not going to get better.
Yeah,
it's going to get harder for us to organize ourselves and come to grips with what's actually happening.
So, you know, Virginia Guifrey said that thing down below. She just once said, you know.
She said, "I'm making it publicly known that in no way, shape, or form am I suicidal. I have made this known to my therapist and GP. If something happens to me in the sake of my family, do not let this go away and help me to protect them. Too many evil people want to see me quieted."
Yeah, and that was, I believe, that's 2019, disturbing. And you know, she's saying that, but later she's hit by a bus, literally.
I forgot about that.
Close to death from that, apparently, according to her own tweets on the subject, and then just a few weeks after that, commits suicide.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
There it is.
At any rate, poor lady. This is the image that gets shown, and my comment about this is, and that's Prince Andrew on the left, and Ghislaine on the right, with Virginia in the middle. So, the reason I they always show this, because you can look at this and you can say, look, you can't tell, is she 14, is she 16, is she 18, is she technically illegal, all that, but this is a sexually mature woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what we're really talking about here is like people who are not sexually mature, right? These are children too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Could be just as devastating to a 15, 16, 17, I get it. But this, they always run with this, I think, because it shows like she looks happy. Like, this to me is like a PR picture
mm-hmm.
for them trying to soften the case up. They're not showing us the worst of, oh, you'll never see it. It's too awful to
right,
look at.
Right.
But they keep running this picture.
You're right. That
feels
is
like a
interesting
to me.
Yeah.
You know,
that makes a lot of sense. You're right.
On some
like
level,
that picture.
You go,
remember the picture on Hunter Biden's laptop of him surrounded by all those little girls?
I tried to find that one. I don't
so
think,
disturbing.
I don't think that's real. I think that was a.
Oh, was it?
I think I'd had, I debunked that one. I was going to put that in here. So
really?
I spent hours trying to verify it and I couldn't. So I'm going to put that on the shelf for now.
Okay.
Because I have to only roll. There's enough that's true that let's just stick to that.
Yeah, sure. It's hard to know these
all
days.
Right. Redheaded Libertarian puts out great stuff all the time.
For the win. Here are each of the Epstein victims and who they explicitly testified hurt them. Virginia. Guifrey. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, Prince Andrew, Alan Dershowitz, Jean-Luc Brunel, Bill Richardson, Glenn Dubin, Tom Pritzker, and Stephen Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
That's who she said hurt her. And then Sarah, Elizabeth, Caitlin, Lisa, Priscilla, Marie, Carolyn, Annie were hurt by Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine. Courtney, Jennifer, Michelle, Jenna, Lisa, Jeffrey Epstein, Joanna, Jeffrey Epstein, and Prince Andrew. One of these women was hit by the bus.
And this is just the testimony we know about. So there's a lot of victims out there. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, here's where I have to go with this because the context for this is really important. So if you haven't seen it, it's a really tough deep dive, but Marco Polo did this report on Biden's laptop, to go to the Biden laptop for a second. This is the thing that the FBI had in its possession, and then 51 intelligence agents told us was completely just all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. But they documented 459 violations of state and federal laws. And that's just the ones they could document. Okay. And when they went down this, it's just huge. 573 pages, including endnotes. I mean, they did a really good job on this. It's an independent group of independent journalists, and they had to break it down into crime areas. And so China's in there, but there were sex related crimes, which include a lot of prostitution, human trafficking. Obviously there's non-consensual pornography in there, and also in the family, right? And also influence peddling around the 2020 election, and on and on and on and on. So it's too much to go into, but the point is that the FBI had this, and they had things like this, right? So here we're seeing a series of texts between Hunter Biden and his vastly underaged niece, where she says, come over, fuckface, no. You know, I'm going to make you text me when you get home. And he says, I want to fold clothes for you. It, like, whatever that is, 3 a.m. Fold clothes, turns out, is a sexual euphemism for, you know, which is well known. It's but it's included now in training for children and teens about sexting and sexual sexploitation, all of that stuff. Okay. So
gross.
They did note that Hunter Biden had sexually inappropriate relationship with his 14-year-old niece, right? As one of many inappropriate things. Going through this thing, it's just page after page after page of just debauchery and, you know, Venmos to prostitutes and cocaine. It's just page after page. Unbelievable stuff, right? But here they found multiple suggestive photos of his niece located on the laptop, right? Noting that in these images, the focal point of the visual depiction is usually on the child's genitalia or pubic area. And it said about 1/3 of the images are of the same underage girl, his niece, and some of the images are topless. Okay. So when they say, I mean, they couldn't put the more graphic pictures in here, but it's all there. It was all there. Right. So, oh, it was Russian. You know what those crafty Russian disinfo agents did? They somehow got this 14-year-old niece of his to pose with him naked. How did they do that?
Who was that agent?
how did they do that?
Goodness.
Right. And as a quick aside, Hunter had a Pornhub account. He was known as Droid Hunter 88. Right. Well, and so he was posting a lot of the stuff over onto Pornhub, which we might want to note is actually owned by a company called MindGeek, and MindGeek is actually owned by something called
Ethical Capital Partners.
Ethical Capital Partners, which means, you know, it's exactly not that, right?
And who is in there?
Well, it's not really terribly family friendly.
Okay.
So Solomon Friedman there, who's a rabbi, he's one of the founding partners of
Ethical. Rabbi?
Says he hopes that the new owners hope to, quote, because they bought Pornhub in 2023 from other shady people who bought it from other shady people. And it's just a shady, and they'll sell it to the next shady group. But look what they want to do in quote.
They hope to openly promote consensual and sex positive adult entertainment and support discussions around trust and safety in sex work.
Consensual and sex positive. All right. So I asked Rock, I said, how much of this stuff is sort of sex positive? And it turns out best estimates are
incest step sibling content, based on the most consistent data, approximately 50-60% of Pornhub's video titles or themes may reference incest or step sibling scenarios.
Okay.
And gross. Cheating on partners. No precise figure is available, but cheating themes likely account for a smaller proportion, maybe 10-20% of content.
And so I just asked about a couple things on there, but the point is that their consensual sex positive stuff is really stuff that is here to destroy morals, boundaries, families, family values. Like this is an assault on your sense of what's right or wrong, right?
It is. Not to mention it's an assault on your brain and your whole, like, your sexuality. When you watch these things, it changes your brain. It changes what you're searching for in a human. It changes what arouses you, like all these things that are totally, like, not up for sale. They shouldn't be.
Yep. No, this is a direct attack on you, on families, on morals. Like, this is, that's how we have to see this.
Yeah.
There's not a thing you can tell me in the world that says that 50-60% of people's fantasies include step siblings or dads or moms or stepmoms.
No.
Right. It's just not, it's not,
that's just gross.
It's what they serve you though.
It is. And they, it makes you think that other people are into that. I imagine.
Yep.
I mean, I don't watch this, but nasty.
Anyway,
that's gross. So, sorry, everybody, that you had to see any of that. It's nasty. All right.
So now we have to just follow the money very quick, because this is like, this is the thing that this is what the FBI, DOJ, they absolutely, you know, Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, Pam Bondi, they all have to, they just have to account for this, right? Because this is the simplest thing. If he's not running a blackmail ring, then how do we account for this? Do you remember this? I remember this because I'm older than like 8 minutes and I can remember these sorts of things. Leon Black is one of the principal founders of something called Apollo Global Management. It's a big ass private equity firm, right? And they have $5+ billion under management, right? And it turns out that Leon, for what some reason, not blackmail, paid Epstein substantial sums for it, financial advisory services, particularly tax and estate planning. So if you ever hired a tax and estate planning a person, Evie, how much would you pay them to like really help you with your tax and planning?
I don't know, maybe a few thousand dollars.
Yeah, let's say $1 million, right?
That'd be on the high end, I imagine.
So look at the payments there. Look at that first bullet point.
Black paid Epstein $170 million between 2012 and 2017. $12 million more than previously reported by Apollo's internal review.
So this is Apollo is a big financial firm. All they deal with is money, and they said, we had no idea he sent that much money to Epstein. We'll look into it. So they look into it, and their own internal review missed $12 million of the 170.
Like, what a joke!
It's such a joke.
What a joke! The funds were allegedly for tax and estate planning.
Yeah.
But Wyden's probe found evidence they were used to fund Epstein's operations, potentially including his trafficking network.
Potentially? Definitely including his trafficking network. Okay.
And last, a major U.S. bank delayed reporting these transactions to the Treasury Department for 7 years, raising concerns about possible violations of anti-money laundering laws.
Oh.
Wow.
A major bank, you know, all they're all coy about this 7 years. Oh, did we forget?
Oops.
We were just about to get around to it.
So sorry.
We were this close to getting around to
That's insane.
$170 million from Leon Black. By the way, we just have to talk about Leon Black here very, very quickly.
Okay. Go for it. Or you want me to? Leon David Black, an American private equity investor. He is the former CEO of Apollo Global Management, which he co-founded in 90 with Mark Rowan and Josh Harris. Black was the chairman of the Museum of Modern Art.
That's how they wash their ill-gotten gains, by the way. They do art.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Donate to things like
that.
Black resigned from both Apollo Global Management and the Museum of Modern Art in the wake of sexual misconduct allegations and revelations that he had paid $158 million to Jeffrey Epstein.
They were forgetting the other 12. Should be 170.
You're right.
$12 million, you just misplaced them from time to time.
What are you going
to
do? Yeah. $12 million is nothing. Black is the son of Eli M. Black, a Jewish businessman who immigrated from Poland as a child and was the chairman and later majority owner of the United Brands company.
Blachowicz. Anyway, so that's who Leon Black is. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, this just shows, I went to the 13F filing for Apollo Management, over $5 billion in managed securities. They have CFOs. They've got hundreds of people working for them. Right.
Wow.
They got lots of money and they're like, we did not know that one of our guys wired out $170 million to a known child sex trafficker. We are so surprised and shocked. He's going to have to step down as CEO. Bad boy. Right.
Meanwhile, Chris, if you are peeing outside a bar and you get caught like that,
let's
say that happened to you, you would become labeled as a sex offender and every single thing that you did would be tracked to the,
oh, you'd have to report into the authorities.
Yeah, you have to register with whatever town you go to. You have to go to the police station and tell them who you are and where you're going to be and what the address is. Like, they track you like nobody's business. There's no way this could go on and that they weren't aware of it.
Absolutely.
There's
zero.
Just no way.
No way. It defies all credulity and credibility. And by the way, so Apollo conducted this review here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and it was conducted by Deckert LLP, failed to identify the full $170 million. No explanation was provided for this oversight. Wyden also pressed the DOJ for documents on Black's ties to Epstein, criticizing the Trump administration for mishandling the case. This is under Trump 1, and suggesting either rank incompetence or cover-up to protect wealthy figures. Which could it be? Which could it be? Mm-hmm. Rank incompetence or cover-up?
Mm.
Hard to say. The DOJ's 2025 memo does not mention Black or indicate any investigation, any of the payments. They're like, we couldn't find any evidence of blackmail. Just these mysterious, unexplained, multi-million dollar payments from Party
for
A.
For somebody's tax. Yeah.
The Party B.
That's bull crap. Right.
How about this then, though? Leslie Wexner, he is the CEO of Victoria's Secret, et cetera, the L brands.
Yep. You can go ahead and read part of that, but we're going to look at the second paragraph down. In 91, Wexner transferred a Manhattan townhouse valued at $13 million at the time, now worth over $50 million, to Epstein for a dollar, a transaction that's never been fully explained.
Never been fully explained.
Of course not.
Right?
Ugh.
But read that whole last bullet point. This is just, this is unbelievable.
So I'm going to read the second one down. Epstein allegedly received tens of millions in fees or diverted funds from Wexner's accounts, though exact figures are unclear due to limited public records. New York Magazine and Forbes have questioned Epstein's wealth, suggesting much of it stemmed from Wexner. By 2007, Wexner began distancing himself from Epstein, and their relationship ended after Epstein's 2008 conviction.
Well, we would only know if it actually ended if we could see the bank records, but fine.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Wexner claimed in 2019 that Epstein misappropriated over $46 million from him, though no legal action was pursued.
Oh, you know how those Jewish CEOs are. When you steal $46 million from them, they just let it go.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, no. No,
it's just money.
How any multimillionaire does that? They just, you know, you misappropriate our funds and it's
a few
awkward,
dollars here,
so,
a few dollars there, whatever.
And I'm not going to explain why I gave you the townhouse for a dollar. By the way, this is the townhouse.
Oh my God. In the Upper East Side?
It just sold for $50 million. They thought it was worth as much as $77 million. They listed it for $88. Nobody had any offers. Somebody said, how's $50? They said, fine.
Wow. We'll take it. Ugh, I wouldn't want to live there. That has so many bad. That has so much bad energy in it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, but just to carry this on a tiny bit. So in that townhouse, of course, there was the famous painting of Bill Clinton in a blue dress, and also another mysterious one of George Bush playing in front
with
of
the airplanes,
Jenga towers, with the airplanes, right?
Yep.
Whimsical art. You know how these art people are.
Yeah. It's just fantastical thinking.
Maybe Leon Black could get that painting for the Metro, the Museum of Art. But at any rate, you see here a picture of Bill Clinton with Virginia Guifre on the Lolita Express plane.
That's Virginia?
Yep. He shows up over and over again here with, you know, in the flight logs.
Bill Clinton,
right?
For secret.
And you see J.E. as Jeffrey Epstein.
Ew.
That's Ghislaine Maxwell. This is, S.K. is most certainly an assistant that Jeffrey had, et cetera. But, you know, it's all sort of recorded there. And by the way, it turns out that one of the two pilots said that Vysotsky said that he had flown Epstein to Little St. James at least every 10 days for 20 years. And this is according to Newsweek. Who do we know that flew on that plane? That includes Trump and Clinton and Spacey and Chris Tucker and Bill Gates and Prince Andrew, RFK Jr., Itzhak Perlman, Senator John Glenn, on and on and on and on and on.
Oh, the list is humongous.
And there's a lot of people. So this is what these things look like. So here they're flying from Teterboro Airport. T-I-S-T is the local airport that's the closest island down to Little St. James.
Okay.
So that means that these people flew from Teterboro in New Jersey to Little St. James Island.
Okay.
And what's really weird is there isn't a corresponding flight. The next one should read T-I-S-T to PBI, which is Palm Beach International. Somehow the plane just magically appears.
Oh.
And they say there's no intervening flight. They flew from here to here. And then it just shows up here, because almost every other time you see you fly from here to here, and then from here to here,
right?
And then from here to here, and then from here to here, and then from here to here.
That's
right?
Bizarre.
But then magically, it just shows up. But at any rate, when it's empty, they noted sometime they had to get the plane from A to B to pick people up, so it would fly empty. We have no idea who was in these flights. flying mostly to Little St. James Island. Those are just left unreported.
Right.
Interestingly, Teterboro to Little St. James, again, no corresponding flight to get you home, but at PBI, they picked up John Roberts, the Supreme Court Justice, and flew him up to Teterboro.
Ew.
But how did it get from here to here? I don't know. Where's the flight? You can't just be on Little St. James and then, or the nearest island, right, and then just magically you're at Palm Beach.
So then their logs are faulty.
Faulty logs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we know at least that much.
Right? Ew, I can't believe John Roberts was on there.
Yeah, the names on here are astonishing, right? So there's Bill Clinton again, right? And all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I just want to show, this is kind of interesting. So flight 49 to flight 50. So here we leave from wherever HPN is. We fly down to TIST, and then we leave from TIST, and then we come back to Palm Beach. So this is a flight to the Little St. James Island, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to zoom in on that real quick because it's instructive. So Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine, his assistant, some Cindy Lopez, I don't know who AP is, a Joanne, and one female.
Ugh. Yeah, and it says that in a couple other places. Yeah. It's like one male, two males, one female.
Yeah, just that's it. Like normally you have to sort of record who you're flying around. But the other thing is we see that they flew to Little St. James and then they came back, but they came back with more people than they flew with. Right. So those people got there somehow, and that's they must have ended up there earlier. And I don't know. The whole thing's a hot mess. Right.
Well, can't we just talk to these people? Like, couldn't you just interview this pilot? Is he still alive?
Yeah. Both pilots are alive. They refused to talk to anybody about anything. They were in their testimony in court. They said that they never saw anything happen. I saw nothing. They never saw anything happening.
Whatever.
Right. but Trump's like, why are you still talking about this? Well, because your name is in there, and because other people's names are in there, and because we have all this mountain of data that vast crimes were committed, and we are not supposed to be a nation that's okay with abusing our children.
No. Are we? I mean, I'm not. Are you?
No.
Are you? Everybody? No. I mean, most people listening to this are not. I think it makes me so angry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It makes me angry. I feel helpless to do anything about it too, yeah, which is the worst part.
Charge Mapar's got it right.
Illegal is meaningless and a closed system of crooks. Amen.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
Rick. Absolutely.
Yep.
So what are we going to do?
I don't know, but I like to play a little game. It's called the coincidence game.
Okay.
You want to play the coincidence game?
Let's
all play the coincidence game. First thing is,
in 1975, Donald Barr, father of former AG Bill Barr, wrote a science fiction book about human trafficking and sex slavery. Ugh. In 1974, he hired Jeffrey Epstein to teach calculus at an exclusive New York City high school where he was headmaster to the nation's elite students.
Oh,
there it is.
What a coincidence. He hires Jeffrey Epstein in 74, and the next year he's writing some science fiction book about human trafficking and sex slavery. It's actually between teachers and teenagers.
Space relations.
Space relations.
Ew. Gross.
Right? This is Jeffrey Epstein as a math teacher before he became a half a billionaire.
Yeah, he really looks like somebody I want to like go in a car with alone.
Yep. Yep.
Somewhere. I mean, good grief.
He's
not even a good looking guy.
No,
sorry.
No. And by the way, in coincidence of all coincidences,
mm-hmm,
it was Donald Barr's son.
Wow. Epstein's death was a perfect storm of screw ups, says A.G. Barr.
Yep. That's it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. Thank you for clearing that up for us. Thank you.
Yep. Perfect storm of screw ups. He committed suicide. Case closed. Right.
Wow.
By the way, all these people got played. This is the Epstein files that Pam Bondi put together and gave them a mm-hmm binder, and they were all redacted, and they included redacted things that we've had for 10 years already.
I heard that some of like that individual, I think on the right there, that blonde woman, like there were people that were not influencers that haven't really made any sort of stir in the world at all.
No, that's not real. She has a big show.
Well, there was one that Candace was talking about. I forget what her name is.
So that's DC Drano all the way on the far left. And then you've got Rychek, Libs of TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who that guy is. Might be Cernovich. I'm not positive, but that's Liz Wheeler. So they all have big accounts.
Well, there's one, she looked back in it. And anyway, like this woman was a Zionist. I don't remember her name.
Yep.
But
at any rate, we all got played. And so this whole idea. So where do we go with this? Okay. So. I actually believe Dan and Cash were serious when they were like, blah, 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 like we are on the outside, right? Mm-hmm. So let's imagine we're all like full of this and we would never do anything. And then we get taken to DC, something happens, mm-hmm. right? That's what we have to count for. So okay. The scenarios are, A, they never had any integrity and it was all an act and they were just BSing then. And this is the
to
way
get
that
into
they,
a position
yeah,
of power.
So now they're in a yeah. position of power. Bread's buttered on the other side. Now I play that side of the bread. Okay. Two, they tell you something.
Right. Like we're going to kill your kids or.
Yeah. They threaten you. They threaten you comprehensively. Like your family's at stake here. They show you a live motion video from inside your wife's car.
Right. You know? We can make the gas pedal.
All we have to do is press this
push.
Button.
Yep. No brake. Yeah. They could do terrible things.
It could be that you're read into some sort of a program like, hey, Planet Nibiru is real. We're about to be attacked by space aliens. We can't afford a distraction. Like something. There's like some big giant, right. like, organizing thing that says we're gonna have to let this sleeping dog lie and you're gonna have to help put it to bed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're counting on you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another option is it's just as gross as it looks, that power corrupts absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets there, they come in with the best of intentions, but then Mr. Smith goes to Washington DC, chews you up and spits you out, and they do that by causing you to have to eat your integrity in one area, and as mm-hmm. soon as you've done that, you have to continue eating. It's gone.
Yeah, it is.
They yep. nibble it, right?
They do.
So as soon as Cash and Dan did the hostage video, it's over.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you're willing to jump ship at that point and say, I'm going to rescue my reputation. My integrity is more important to me than
right.
whatever this other stuff is that was dangled in front of me, right? And you do that.
Whoever or whatever it is, it definitely feels like a rot in our country that we're going to have to address as citizens. Like
something bad.
You know, either we get rid of this rot or it will completely take down this country. And maybe that's the intention. Yep. I don't know of whoever is perpetrating this.
Yeah.
We are in a spiritual battle. Good versus evil, says Liberty in Trust. Absolutely.
Yep.
Couldn't agree more.
Yep.
Couldn't agree more.
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yep. I know I was talking to you earlier, Chris, about how one of the things that this makes me feel that it makes me want to do is just I have to take all that anger and just like make my life kick ass, like make it into the best.
Yeah, what do we do with that
life?
What do we do with that anger?
That's the only revenge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because we can't change these bigger things. We can't change what happened to Epstein. We can't change the way they're not investigating or not arresting
yeah,
or not looking into any of that. Not really. I mean, you and I are getting involved locally because that feels important to us in our local mm-hmm. government. But I think to be rebellious in our own quiet ways, I think that is the best thing.
I agree. Now,
what are your thoughts?
So we've had this really incredible conversation going on over at Peak Prosperity. We have great conversations every day, but one of them that really caught me was from esteemed, valuable member, subscriber, VT Gothic. And he said, because he gave a sermon and he relayed the contents of that sermon to us, which was landed on me like an awesome sermon. He said, you have to understand the difference between understanding something and comprehending something. So if you understand something, somebody could explain it to you. Like you don't really know how a carburetor works, but somebody says, oh, it's this mechanical device and air comes in and fuel and there's little jets and there's this right ratio. And because of that, it goes and flows out and can be the right ratio to explode into a contained thing called internal combustion, right? Fine. I might understand that, but I don't really comprehend it fully, but I can understand it. Comprehension from the root comprehensive, right? The same compre means to really fully get something. So I might be able to understand something, but not really comprehend it. To comprehend, you have to live it. It has to be part of who you are, right? It's the difference between sort of fumbling your way through written words in a foreign language and you can sort of derive from meaning to being able to fully express yourself verbally in poetry in that language, right? Or subtle jokes. So understand versus comprehend. Now, the problem I think is that all of us here, Evie, we're struggling to try and understand something mm-hmm. that we can't comprehend because these are evil right. people.
Right.
I can't comprehend it because it would never occur to me mm-hmm. to torture and abuse and kill somebody because that's how I derive joy or a sense of dopamine or
right.
pleasure,
right.
whatever it is. I can't comprehend it. But I can see it in movies, so I can sort of understand that it's a thing. But that's the problem I've been trying to cross over.
Mm.
And I feel like I'm trying to comprehend something that I can barely understand.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. That's a good way of looking at it.
And so if we have that as our framing, then, you know, it's like, listen, are you going to try and join them or beat them, or what do you do? And what you're saying is, let's channel this productively. And by the way, this is exactly the kind of thing that we're going to be doing this September 12th, 13th, 14th at Lake Winnipesaukee when we have our annual Peak Prosperity Gathering. Good people, where we can comprehend each other, right? Truly get it, who are good people. We're wrestling with exactly what you've been talking about, Evie, which is, what do we do? And how do we go about doing this? Not just what do we do, but how are we going to be?
With each other.
With each other.
Yeah.
Because this all falls apart at some point in time. This, like you said, the center cannot hold. The widening gyre, the Yeats poem, right? That this sucker's going down. There's no recovery from this level of rot.
I don't think so. Unfortunately, I think we have to let it, we have to tear it down, and it has to be rebuilt by good people that remember what this country was founded upon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Indeed. Well, and I do think that everybody's got to be resilient at this point in time, whether this goes down economically, whether we have some sort of a resource issue, whether we decide that we have to fight China, or whether this whole thing breaks in some sort of like
or the magnetic pole shift,
you know, trust or the magnetic pole shift.
Somebody mentioned that.
No, but we can all feel it, right? Something's coming. And the only prudent response, of course, is to be as resilient as you can be. Now, that's not just putting some beans and bullets in your bunker in the basement, which could be that, but it's a lot more than that. You know, resilience is taking care of Maslow's hierarchy of needs first layer: safety, warmth, food, shelter, water. But then beyond that, right, to be really resilient, you have to have your mental health in order, your spiritual health has to be in order. And every single day, those are the things that are under assault, is trying to degrade our sense of morality, of not having any firm ground to stand on. If you don't even know if you're actually a man or a woman and you can't figure it out anymore, how do you make firmer decisions off of that quicksand, right? So that's the world we're in. And I feel like it's just chipping at us all the time. And the response to that, besides getting, you know, the bottom of all that food, shelter, safety, warmth, is you have to begin associating with real humans face to face.
Yep.
In ways that are authentic, again, where my vocal cords move air, that makes little bumpy things in the air that go into your ears, and we share that resonant space.
Yep.
And there's a magic that happens between people.
There is.
Right? There's there an energetic is. Gift
it's
that happens.
Synergistic,
when we're
something actually is transferred. And
truly there in 3D space with each other.
Yep. And we have to practice, I think, loving each other and being connective, being in relationship. Understanding how everything that we touch, that we're connected and we belong in this world, and finding our place again.
Yep.
It's really easy to lose track of that.
Yeah.
In this mayhem.
Yep. Well, I realized that I've once again overdone it, and I made way too much stuff. So we're gonna have to save some stuff for next time.
Okay. What are we saving?
The resilience break and
my videos.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the enshittification. We'll talk about that next
time. Okay, that sounds good.
Because we just went way too long. But you, I think, had a... It's time to reread.
I have the poem.
There is a poem for these times.
There is.
I think it's perfect.
Yes. I will pull it right up. And I believe it's by Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Solzhenitsyn?
I'm terrible with last names. I apologize. Okay. The most terrifying force of death comes from the hands of men who wanted to be left alone. They try so very hard to mind their own business and provide for themselves and those they love. They resist every impulse to fight back, knowing the forced and permanent change of life that will come from it. They know that the moment they fight back, their lives as they have lived them are over. The moment the men who wanted to be left alone are forced to fight back, it is a form of suicide. They are literally killing off who they used to be, which is why when forced to take up violence, these men who wanted to be left alone fight with unholy vengeance against those who murdered their former lives. They fight with raw hate and a drive that cannot be fathomed by those who are merely play-acting at politics and terror. True terror will arrive at these people's door, and they will cry, scream, and beg for mercy. But it will fall upon the deaf ears of the men who just wanted to be left alone.
I just want to be left alone. I don't want to have to put up with this nonsense.
Me too. I want to live a peaceful, resilient life full of delicious, yummy things that fill my heart and soul. I think that's probably what a lot of people want. So,
indeed, indeed. Myself as well. So thank you, everybody, for being here. Remember, come by peakprosperity.com if you want to find out any more about the summit or follow any of our other work or be part of our tribe. We would love to have you. You're welcome and invited. With that, thanks very much for being here today.
Thanks for spending your afternoon. Take good care of yourselves and each other, and we will see you next week.